It's a great day for a podcast. Once again, here he is, John Oakley.
Great day for talk radio. You know, I like to follow the American political landscape because, well, it's soap operatic at the very best, and at worst, it's a real gong show. And we know coming up in November, the election is going to pair off the two principal contestants that we saw the last go-round. And not a lot of people are really too encouraged or bullish on that, including a gentleman down in Texas. He's a grade 7 math teacher. And he's so despondent over the two choices, as I've cited, he's decided he's going to try to enter the race himself. But he had to change his name to give himself a shot at it. And it's legally been changed to literally anybody else. Let's find out what he's on about. Literally anybody else. LAE, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing good. Just signing out from school. Going to make my way home, get some work done, get the message out. Well, hope y'all are doing well up there.
I'm guessing, you're getting the message out already. I mean, this has gone viral. What kind of notoriety are you experiencing right now?
Oh, it's been crazy. Like, what surprises me the most is the amount of international attention that I've been getting. Today, I did a interview via Facebook messages with journalists in India. I had someone from France call me and set up an interview for 9 o'clock my time, 3 a.m. her time.
Wow.
And there's another one, is based in Germany, and they have a presence in Dallas, and they want to interview me tonight at 6.
Well, you got a full dance card here, so I appreciate you giving us a few moments up in Toronto, Canada. Let me ask you, though, I mean, you changed your name legally from Dustin Eby to literally anybody else. How easy was it to change that name?
It was easier than I expected. I mean, I don't think it was any harder than what you would do, like if you got married or for someone getting married or anything like that. the judge did give me a look, though. She was not amused. Oh. To be fair, she was dealing with some very, very serious divorce cases on her docket immediately before. So it might have just been she was in a mode of telling people to stop their foolishness. And then she got to me and thought it was foolishness.
Really? And you see, in some of those divorce cases, I'm sure you would have some of the respondents who would prefer literally anybody else.
Indeed. Right. I'm sorry, but I'm taken.
you're taken. Yeah. Well, is this now, you're taken, but the name, is it taken for keeps, or are you going to revert back to your previous name, Dustin Eby, after the election?
Oh, yeah. Win or lose, it's going to go back to Dustin Eby. You know, this has always been about sending a message. I don't want to adopt a persona like just, oh, hey, if you hate two other people enough, I'm your guy. You know,
I believe
I have the attention.
Would that be the bumper sticker by any chance?
I could be. I mean, there's an entrepreneurship opportunity there, I'm sure.
Well, there you go. I didn't want to float that gratis, but anybody wants to jump on it, they're welcome to it. So you say it's an idea. Obviously, you have no real ardor for Biden or Trump in this case, but it's going to be a real hill for you to climb to get on that ballot, isn't it? Tell us about that.
Yeah. So most states, virtually all of them, have petition requirements to get on the ballot. So, for instance, the state I live in, Texas, you have to have 113,151 signatures that you can't even start collecting until Super Tuesday. And they have to all be in certified, notarized. Well, the collector has to get notarized before the second Monday of May. So I did the math one time, and it would have to collect between 3 to 4 signatures every minute if you were to make this a full-time job.
Wow, you know, that's not surprising that you would do the math because you're a grade 7 math teacher.
Yeah, it's an addiction sometimes. But anyway, I think the path to success, if we do end up going the petition route, like if that's successful, is just recruitment. Like anybody who is willing to go out and to spread the word, collect the signatures, you know, pretty much anybody who has that dissatisfaction with what's been presented to us by the two major parties,
it depends on them. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm still a full-time teacher, and I don't have the funds to do it myself on the teacher's salary, and I don't have the time because I still have responsibilities to these students.
Well, Mr. Else, do you have volunteers working on your behalf?
Well, that's another thing, like trying to corral them. I need, actually, well, y'all are in Canada. It's a bit far away, but if y'all knows anybody who could work as a remote assistant, I'm looking. I'm looking for people who can help corral. I had 80 emails while I was at work today, I think. I had to look again. So most of them media inquiries.
Right. You need to recruit signatures, and as you say, at scale. And 113,000. And so if you do get these signatures, let's say before the middle of May, you would be on the ballot then. Are you doing the calculus that there's maybe so much revulsion towards the other two main candidates, Trump and Biden, that, again, literally anybody else might actually make a dent in the numbers?
Well, that's kind of the point. Like, I feel like any kind of, I feel like if the two candidates were to see this campaign now, they kind of wouldn't give it any thought. But if it actually had any kind of threat, the parties would actually take notice. You know, that's what I want. I want the parties to wake up and realize, hey, we've gone too far in the directions we were supposed to lean to. You know, they're pretty much sprinting in both ways. And I think the latest Gallup poll said no matter who wins, 70% of America is not going to be represented. So the democracy, our government is supposed to be by the people, of the people, for the people. And, you know, neither candidate is of the people. I mean, you have Donald Trump, who is as a billionaire, is of the 0.1%. And Joe Biden, he's been in politics, what, 60-something years? Yeah. How many politicians are there in the population? It's probably less than 0.1%.
Right. It's a full-time gig. Like, yeah, no, I get it. So really what you're doing is appealing to disaffected independents. By the way, the numbers that you're trying to recruit of the 113,000, they can't be registered Democrats or Republicans, can they?
They can, but they can't have voted in the primaries.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right. So that may preclude a whole lot of folks that might otherwise go your way. And it's going to be interesting if you were to get on the ballot because, as I said, you know, in some places there's up to 35% who are undecided or independent and might even break your way. You could be onto something. At least you're raising the profile of the issues. In a nutshell, if you can give it to us real fast, what would you stand for if you had to present a platform really quickly?
And so I had to present a platform. I hate to say this because I feel kind of escapist. I would take whatever the public opinion is at the time. You know, I'm a firm believer of having it be representation despite, you know, personal beliefs. I grew up Christian. I grew up conservative, and as I got older and started to, you know, hold the same kind of criticism toward my own beliefs as I did to the beliefs of others, I kind of grew more progressive. You know, it's one of those things you have to hold on, there's kids out here. You have to conserve and progress. You know, keep what is good, you know, evaluate what works, but at the same time you have to move towards what is best.
Yeah, you know, we had that in this country for a while, progressive conservatives, we call them. And so there's that sort of...
What happened to them?
I don't know. They didn't get voted in, maybe under the banner, literally anybody else. Canada version. Anyway, listen, we're going to watch this with interest, see if it gains traction, but I appreciate the sentiment and the idea behind it because, as you say, it is literally an idea. I appreciate your sharing your thoughts this afternoon. Good luck.
All right, you take care.
And you. Yep. Over and out.
Listen to the John Oakley Show live each weekday afternoon from 3 until 6. If you live in the Toronto area, just turn that AM dial to 640 and listen anywhere on earth 24 hours a day by going to 640toronto.com. Follow on Twitter at @AM640Oakley. You've been listening to A Curious Cast. New podcasts and shows are debuting all the time. So check back often to see what's new in the Curious Cast library.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.